We have six great students that are here today representing Pittsburgh SciTech, and each of them is in sixth grade. Their teacher here with us today is Ms. Wendy Moore, and let's start by setting the scene for you. We'll give you a chance to meet each person that's here, and I'm going to ask if you could just identify yourself, and if you have a shout out, feel free. Everybody's either 11 or 12, and why don't we get started with you, Chapin?
Okay, yeah, so my name's Chapin, I'm 11. My mom actually teaches at SciTech, so that's one of the reasons that I came to SciTech, and I really like it.
What do you like? What do you like about it?
Well, I like the classes, the kind of atmosphere they have there, and how it's has many different things you can do. You can like choose a bunch of different paths you want to do.
It's more fun to learn, I think, when you have some choice in it. You know, when you decide to do something. Are there any things you've chosen this year that you really like?
Well, I'm doing, I chose to start doing cross country so I could kind of get ready to start doing the soccer season again.
Excellent.
And I really liked that.
That's a good way to condition. Now, what do you think about when you run?
I don't know. I just remember that I need to, that this is building up for my soccer season.
That helps you get through. I would be counting steps, you know, like one, two, three, four, and doing something to stay alert. Well, it's good to have you here. Let's meet the person who's sitting just to the left of you, Kennedy, right?
Yes. Hello, my name is Kennedy. I'm 12 years old, and I attend Pittsburgh SciTech, and I really like it. It's very fun. You get to learn a lot of new things every single day.
And have you learned anything interesting lately?
Yes.
Can you tell me about something?
Yes. In digital imaging, we have learned how to make different type of images on the computers and how to insert different types of pictures into Photoshop.
Very cool. Do you learn about things like JPEGs and GIFs? Or is it GIF or GIF?
GIF.
I hear it pronounced different ways by different people. That's cool. Who's here with you today?
My mom, my dad, and my brother.
Excellent. And let's go down the line, and I think we have Sam next, right?
Hi, I'm Sam Bard, and I also go to SciTech, and I like it because of its challenging math programs.
Oh, what are you... I love math. What are you doing in math now?
We're doing percentages, which isn't that hard, but I think we'll get into more difficult stuff later in the year.
I had to do something with percentages just yesterday. I had to figure out like 3% of 3% of 3%.
Oh, which is like confusing.
Yeah, it was confusing. Well, like if you, half of a half of a half is an eighth.
I think.
Yeah, and it was kind of a problem like that. I did it wrong the first time. And I could tell because I looked at the answer, and the answer did not seem right to me. Do you ever do that? Like you look at the answer,
sometimes.
And you can just tell that the answer's, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
No matter, even though I did it carefully, it's like, wait a minute, this isn't right. And I'd flipped something when I did the math. Anyway, that's my story. Anybody you'd like to say hello to?
My dad, my mom, and my sister.
Excellent. And down the line we go Roman, who I think is our only veteran here that's been here in our studios before. Is that right, Roman?
Yes.
I thought so. Do you remember what you did when you were here last time?
Last year, it was in fifth grade. I came with someone from my teacher from Allegheny.
Excellent. I'm glad you were here. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and if there's anybody here you'd like to say hello to here or at home.
So, my name is Roman, and I also attend Pittsburgh SciTech, and I really like it because there's just so many different things to do. There's different ways to learn.
Are there ways to learn that are especially new to you or that you never would have thought that it would be a way to learn?
Yes.
Can you tell me about one of them?
So there's it's like a variety of things we learn. Last quarter, the first quarter of school, I was in a robotic class. And so we had EV3 robots, and we programmed them to do certain tasks and things, and that was really fun for me.
What? Tell me the kind of robot again, EV?
An EV3.
And what does that mean exactly? Is it electrical? Is that what the E stands for? Or is that just a model number, maybe?
It's just a model.
Very cool. What did you make it do?
So one of the challenges is called an orchard challenge, and we had... So there were lines on a board, and we had to make a curve around every single line and get to the end.
Oh, my gosh. So it was like doing like an orchard, like lines of trees going back and forth. That would be hard. The turns, I think, would be tough. Plus, did you have to make sure it didn't hit any of the trees?
Yeah.
Interesting. Who's here with you today? Did we mention them?
My mom and my two sisters.
What are their names?
My little sister, 5 years old, her name is Nora. My big sister, Ava, she goes to Kappa.
Ava at Kappa. I like the way that sounds. Well, it's good to have you here. And next up, who do we have?
Mariska.
Hi, and tell me a little bit about you.
I also go to SciTech, and I really like it there because there are different clubs you can join, and it's really fun there.
That's great. I think it's neat, too, that you're hearing, as we listen, you're hearing SciTech clearly has a great curriculum in terms of science and technology, but as Chapin mentioned, there's cross-country and some great sports programming. You just mentioned clubs. It's a good school culture that allows you to be complete and to do a lot of different things. While it's a strong focus on science and technology and STEM, you get to do other things too. Who's here with you, Mariska?
My stepmom, Christina. She's with me.
Anybody else?
Just my stepmom.
Well, great. I'm glad that she's here. I saw a big smile on her face after you said that. And let's meet the person, our last of six students, Luke. Hello.
Hello.
Tell me about yourself.
I'm Luke. I'm 11. I also go to SciTech.
Yes. Anything we haven't said about SciTech?
I really like our music technology class where we learn how to make music in GarageBand.
Very cool. Can you tell me some of the things you're doing? I'm really curious about that.
Yesterday in class, we did this thing called Sun Rain, and it's you have to make a calming music, and then one part is a rainstorm, and one part is like a sunny day.
And did you use a digital keyboard to do it?
We used a keyboard, and we used a nature sounds instrument, so you could use a bunch of nature sounds to make the animals and the water.
That sounds great. We have a few of you that I, you know, earlier, Chapin was helping me know when songs are over, so you can help me with that. You could make background music like this, and I could sleep in. It's like, now, did you all get up earlier than usual today?
No. Not really.
No. I got up.
I normally get up around 8 or 7.
Well, that's good. I'm happy to hear that. Now, let's first of all, did anybody not say hello to somebody that they meant to? We didn't ask you, Luke. Who's here?
My dad's here with me today.
Excellent. And go ahead. Oh, did we miss anybody?
No, there's 5 seconds.
Oh, you're... Yes, 5 seconds. Thank you very much for letting me. No, I'm glad. Chapin had his hand up. Almost like he was waving with five fingers. And I thought he was saying, wait, there's five people that I need to say hello to. He was helping me know that there's 5 seconds, which is good. Who can tell me about this project and how it all worked? You can just jump right in.
So what we did was at the beginning, at like the middle through the last quarter, we said, Ms. Moore asked us if we wanted to do this essay instead of doing a summary of our book in the back every week. It's like a small summary of the chapters you read in our book. So instead, we get to write this essay during that time. So
interesting.
I finished this essay, and I just made some modifications to it last night.
Mm-hmm. And so we have this place called the Eye Center. It's basically like our library, and like that place really helped me get work done because our room is usually very noisy. But when we got to go to the Eye Center, we had a lot. We had some time to get stuff done or get the story done, essay.
Anybody else have anything to add before we actually hear some of what you wrote?
The essay really, while I was writing it, it really allowed me to make some points about like the books we read last quarter without like doing the constructed response summaries. And it was easier to prove points with the essay than with the summaries.
So rather than being forced to follow a structure that the book would give you, you could come up with your own take on things.
Yeah.
That's great. Does anybody else have anything to add about how the exercise worked?
I agree with Mariska. It allowed you to be more creative, it allowed you to also give out more thoughts about the topic.
Yeah, it gave us more freedom of what we wanted to write or what we like, how we felt on things.
Interesting. Roman, anything you'd like to add, or Sam?
Yeah. Our focus for this unit was animal allies. So midway through that quarter, she asked us if we wanted to make an essay using some of the passages we've used recently.
What a good idea, animal allies. So what is an ally in this case, Sam? Can you kind of define an animal ally?
Well, in this unit, we talked about how animals and humans helped each other out and did good things for each other, so in this sense, an ally is like someone who has your back.
Excellent. And I like the alliteration, animal ally. Now, each of you has a page or so that you've written as part of your essay, and we'll have you share them now. I can't wait to hear them. And does anybody want to go first?
I can go.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's start... With Luke Sweeney, because I saw Luke's hand go up, and then after Luke, we'll go with Chapin. So, Luke, do you want to mention your essay's title? Does it have a title?
Yeah. My essay's title is How Humans and Animals Relate to Each Other and Connect with Each Other. And so humans and animals can connect to each other in many ways, and in this essay, I will take information from the books we read in the unit. We read in the Unit 1, Animal Allies, and explain that. So I said, the excerpt from My Life with the Chimpanzees by Jane Goodall has many examples of humans relating and connecting with animals. When Dr. Goodall gets to Gombe National Park, she sets up camp, and the next day she starts looking for the chimpanzees in the park. The first time she sees the chimpanzees, she cannot get near them. She still waits for them to get used to her. She is there for a while before she can even get somewhat close to them. When Jane starts to get close and become friends with the chimpanzees, she starts to connect with them more and relate to them in different ways. Humans can be shy, just like the chimpanzees were at first, and humans can be aggressive towards outsiders that they have not met before. Jane meets a variety of different chimpanzees. The first chimpanzee she meets, she names David Greybeard. Jane helps David Greybeard by giving him food to eat and letting him come into her camp. Later, Jane meets Goliath, William, Old Flo, and Old Flo's children, Figgin, Phoebe, and Fifi. Flo helped Jane learn a lot about female chimpanzees. She helps Jane research baby chimpanzees. Jane started to connect with the chimpanzees more and realized they were like humans in the ways they act and behave and have individual personalities. Jane did not see them as just regular chimpanzees anymore, but as actual beings with thoughts and feelings. By the end of the time she was at Gombe National Park, Jane was great friends with a lot of the chimpanzees. Jane was very happy that she went to Gombe in the first place. That is how I think the excerpt from My Life with the Chimpanzees shows how humans and animals can connect and relate to each other. In the passage...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
In the passage Hachiko, The True Story of a Loyal Dog, the author shows how humans and animals can connect. In the beginning of the story, Kentaro moves to Tokyo and is near the Shibuya station. He goes to the station to meet his dad at the end of a day of work when he sees him talking to a man with a dog. Kentaro is scared of the dog at first because it looks like a wolf. When the man sees he is afraid of him, he introduces himself as Dr. Ueno and his dog, Hachiko. Kentaro likes Hachiko, from then on comes to the station almost every day to see him. Kentaro connects with Hachiko by being nice to him, being his friend, and being with him all the time. Kentaro likes Hachiko very much, and they become great friends, and they connect to each other in many other ways, such as they both come to the train station every day, and they both love each other a lot. Hachiko goes to the station every day to wait for Dr. Ueno. One day, Dr. Ueno is not there, and they learn that he died. Kentaro and his parents are sad. The next day, when Kentaro goes to the station, at the end of the day, he sees Hachiko still waiting there patiently. Every day, Hachiko is there waiting for Dr. Ueno. Kentaro still likes Hachiko and plays with him and likes to be his friend. In the end, Hachiko dies and Kentaro is very sad when he goes to the station. Or when he goes to the station, he sees flowers where Hachiko waits every morning. He's very sad that Hachiko died. All the people loved Hachiko and connected with him because he was a nice, loyal, and patient dog. That is how Hachiko, The True Story of a Loyal Dog, shows how people connect with animals like Hachiko.
That was excellent. And I was going to ask, you said you polished that last night?
Yeah, I wrote most of this a couple weeks ago, and then so I share it with my dad, but then I forgot to make the new version shared with my dad, so I had to write this last paragraph again, because there's still two more paragraphs, and then I just fixed some things up in the first couple paragraphs also.
That's excellent. Were there two more paragraphs that...
Yeah, I still need to...
Go ahead and finish up.
Okay.
I thought there were two more.
Yeah. In the poem A Blessing by James Wright, it has many ways that animals and humans connect with each other. In the beginning, two friends are off the highway of Rochester, Minnesota when they see a pasture and see two beautiful ponies in the pasture. They go in and meet the ponies. The humans love the ponies, and one says she wishes she could hold the thinner of the two ponies. The humans are very happy and wish they could be with the ponies all the time. One of the humans wants to blossom because how happy and alive they feel. And then that's how I think the poem The Blessing by James Wright shows how humans and animals connect and relate to each other. And then in the poem Predators by Linda Hogan, it shows ways humans and animals connect. In the beginning of the story, the author talks about not being able to smell a cat. The author then tells about a fox bowing to some dogs and cats. These animals relate to humans because humans also bow to things and people they respect. After that, the prey has to eat a smaller animal that was not its prey. This connects to humans because a lot of the time humans cannot eat what they want to eat and instead have to eat something less or smaller. That's how the poem Predators shows humans and animals connecting. That's how I think humans and animals connect and relate to each other based on the books we read in this unit, Animal Atlas.
Wow. You guys had... That was really well done. And you mentioned you shared that with your dad after you revised it, too. You must like to write.
Yeah, I like to write. I don't like to write with my hand, but I type this.
Yeah, so. Probably most of my writing I do that way, too, I think. Let's go to Chapin next. And do you need to tell us a little bit about what you wrote?
Not really. I just kind of wrote... I just named mine Animal Allies.
Okay, we'll go ahead and...
There are many ways humans and animals can help each other. One way is that humans can give animals vital things they need. Another way is that animals can assist us, such as seeing eye dogs and horses, when we have problems. They can help us do things faster and stronger. Animals can also help us mentally and make us less stressed. These are all reasons how animals and humans can help each other. Humans can give animals vital things they need. Some things humans can give are food, shelter, and water. An example of this is when Jane Goodall gives David Graybeard bananas in My Life with the Chimpanzees, a story about Jane Goodall's life. Also in Hachiko, The Story of a True Loyal Dog, where Kentaro, a young boy, gives Hachiko, a dog, food and water while he's waiting for the dead Dr. Ueno, his owner. Animals can also take things they need from us, such as when seagulls attack us for the food we have at the beach or when deer eat the vegetables from a garden. This can show we are not helping the animals enough, or we're destroying their initial food source by destroying their homes and habitats, so they must eat things from us to survive. These all show that humans can give animals vital things they need. Animals can help humans physically. Animals such as horses can help us go farther, faster, and do things we could not do on our own. An example of this is from the stories we read this quarter is Warrior, Bob's horse from Black Cowboys Wild Horses. In this story, Bob, a cowboy who is a slave, follows a herd of Mustangs, wild horses, becomes their leader, leads them to a pasture for them to be domesticated. Warrior helps Bob get farther than he could have got himself. Another example of this is a seeing eye dog, which can help blind people get around without running into things. These are all examples how animals can help humans physically. Animals can help humans mentally, too. An example of this is a therapy dog or cat. It helps people get through the pain and suffering after a surgery or the loss of a friend or family member. Hachiko acts as a therapy dog to Kentaro when he is mourning over the loss of Dr. Ueno. Animals can make us happier, allowing us to be our best selves. Animals can help us connect with others. For example, a person could be talking about their dog, and another person feels connected to them because they have a dog too. Animals can help humans mentally. Animals and humans can help each other in many ways. Humans can provide necessities for animals. Animals can help us physically and let us go farther and faster than we could on our own two legs. Animals can also help us mentally. As therapy dogs or just a pet. There are many ways, both ways, that humans and animals can help each other.
That's really well done and very persuasive, too, as I listened. So that was Chapin Nienhuis. And now, why don't we go to Kennedy Gilliard and hear from hers. Are you set?
Yes.
Okay.
Animal Allies by Kennedy Gilliard. What happened to the frog who parked illegally? His car got towed. This joke shows one of the many ways that people and animals can relate to each other. In our sixth grade communications class, we have been reading stories about human and animal relationships. Some stories are Where the Red Fern Grows, My Life with the Chimpanzees, and Monkey Masters. Each story reminds me that human and animal relationships go back way before you and I were alive. There are many people, like Jane Goodall, who are really able to feel the connection between themselves and animals. Today, I'll give a few ways to show how humans and animals interact with each other and create strong relationships. First, human and animals are very loyal. In some of the stories we read, you can see and feel the loyalty between them. Some had stronger relationships than others, but no matter how big or small, loyalty always counted. In the passage Hachiko by Pamela S. Turner, the passage states, "But in the morning he walks to the station just like he did with Dr. Ueno. When the last train leaves the station, he returns home." This particular quote shows loyalty because it talked about even though Hachiko's owner had died, he still walked to the station every day waiting for his owner to show his loyalty. When I think about this passage, it reminds me how kids may sit patiently looking out a window, waiting for a parent to come home. Another animal and human loyalty connection we read about was in this story, Where the Red Fern Grows by Wilson Rawls. In the passage, it states, "Old Dan was treed down in Deep Gully. I slid off the bank and read to him. His back was covered with a layer of frozen sleet. His frost-covered whiskers stood out like porcupine quills." This individual quote shows how animals and humans can be loyal to each other because Billy, knowing that his grandfather almost died in the cold and ice, still ran to help his dog, Old Dan. And Old Dan, a hunting dog, stayed out in the cold and yelled treed, which means he caught an animal in a tree, until Billy had arrived. Old Dan, in return, had risked his life to help Billy win a hunting competition. The second way animals and humans relate is because they both through some of the same experiences. In a story we read about a dog who experienced the death of his owner, while in another story, the owner had experienced the death of both of his dogs. I know that animals show emotions like humans, such as crying, they get sick, may have surgery, and even diseases, like us. They also express happy emotions by barking and licking. Lastly, animals and humans are great companions to each other. In the passage A Blessing by James Wright, it states, "They ripple tensely. They can hardly contain their happiness that we have come." This talks about how happy the horses were to see people. I'm sure they had a great relationship and were excited when they got to spend time with each other. People and animals both have joy when they come around each other. This companionship can create an unbreakable bond. In conclusion, there are more ways that humans and animals can relate to each other than the ones I described. Ways that help them to continue their strong, loving relationship and at times can show us how to relate to each other as people. Thank you for allowing me to share my essay.
Beautifully, beautifully done. That's Kennedy Gilliard. And I want to mention, Kennedy, you're from Stanton Heights, right?
Yes.
And Chapin, you're from Highland Park?
Mm-hmm.
And it says here Philadelphia.
I was born in Philadelphia.
Born in Philadelphia and now in Highland Park. And we should mention where everybody's from. Luke, you're also Highland Park? Okay. Now, why don't we just go right down the line? So our next reader is Sam, who's from Lawrenceville. And you all set to go?
Well, before I start, I want to talk a little bit about my essay.
Sure.
This presents the opposite side of the arguments that my classmates have been making. This essay is about some of the disconnection between humans and animals.
Good. So this is an alternative. You're not thinking of being an attorney when you grow up, are you?
I am, actually.
Are you?
Yes.
Because that's a good... attorneys often take different points of view, so it's good to... And sometimes attorneys have to take a point of view that is just their responsibility,
yeah.
So that's great. We're all set. This is Sam Bard.
Okay, so my essay is also titled Animal Allies, an Investigation into the Human-Animal Connection. Have you ever wondered how many animals are slaughtered annually in the United States? So have I. So I decided to find out. I encountered a website titled the 2019 U.S. Animal Kill Clock. So far, about 8 billion chickens, cattle, turkeys, fish, sheep, ducks, and pigs have been killed for food this year. Now, obviously, animals and humans share a special connection, but how deep does this connection really go? Animal cruelty levels are very high, despite many animal awareness groups. In this explorative essay, I will delve into the real connection between humans and animals. To start, let's look at dogs, a prime example of the human-animal connection. Dogs make up a majority of household pets, so obviously people love them. It would be a complete lie to state that humans and dogs have no connection, but dogs are also the most abused pet by a gigantic 64.5%. Is this just because they are the most common pet? I don't think so. One reason dogs are most abused might be that we share such a strong connection with dogs that they appear just short of human to us. Therefore, we take our anger out on them like we would a human. Another possible reason, the one I find most likely, is that abusive pet owners simply do not regard dogs as living, conscious animals, and those thoughts justify their harmful, negligent decisions. Most of us do not abuse our dogs, strengthening the connection between them tremendously. However, the fact still stands that much too many dogs are being treated poorly at the hands of vindictive humans. Our true love of animals started about 10,000 years ago, when pets started to appear in our artwork, but true necessity brought us together earlier. As early humans, we used dogs to help us hunt mammoths and other animals. At that time, the relationship between animals and humans were pretty equal. If humans killed an animal, they used every part of it. Dogs helped gather food and got food in return. As humans started to evolve, their love for pets grew, but their disdain towards animals used for food got bigger too. Animals began to be used in war and raised for slaughter. Pets were exclusive to royalty. In this modern age, we have the capacity to care for animals, but instead we thoughtlessly devour them. Pets, though, have entered a new golden age. Despite lots of them being abused and taunted, pets have more food, love, luxury, and shelter than ever. Despite our shortcomings, we have provided a very good life for many animals. We connected with animals early on, and that connection has wavered and spiked throughout history. The last topic I want to explore is the good things we have done for animals. We have provided them homes, food, and water. Despite all our shortcomings, we have cared for them intensely. This care has led to extreme loyalty on the part of our pets. Examples like service dogs in war are just the tip of the iceberg. This loyalty has led to more love on the part of humans, creating a circle of trust. However, pets in extreme situations commit heroic acts, while humans' acts toward pets, though still notably great, pale in comparison to the sacrifices pets make.
Still, humans and animals have an undeniably strong connection. With all this information coming to bear, I can make the conclusion that many humans and animals have moderately strong connections, a few great, and many others abysmal. Dogs, though an amazing example of human-animal connections, are still the most abused pet. Relationships between humans and animals have evolved, but are sometimes still lacking. Lastly, sometimes humans do not pull their weight in relationships with animals.
Sam, that was really well done. Are you all hearing each other's for the first time this morning? Yeah, I could tell. If you're just, I liked how comprehensive and multifaceted that was, taking the different sides. You're listening to students from Pittsburgh SciTech, Pittsburgh Public Schools, and they're sharing essays, essentially animal allies, talking about the relationship between human beings and other animals. And we have two more essays to share. And Roman, do you want to go next?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything you need to say ahead of time?
No.
Roman Gray is here.
Have you ever heard a dog is a man's best friend? Well, today, I will talk to you about how animals can be just like humans and connect to them in different ways, using different texts or excerpts. In the passage, My Life with the Chimpanzees by Jane Goodall, Jane goes to Gombe, Africa to go on the hunt for inside information on the species called chimpanzees. At first, the chimps run away, but then they get closer and closer. One day, Jane's cook spots a chimp at their campsite. Jane was so happy. This is one reason why I think that animals can connect to humans. As Jane stayed longer and longer in Gombe, Africa, the chimps got closer and closer to Jane. This is similar to our human interactions with other people. As we get used to others, we grow closer and closer to those same people. To conclude, I think that this book can provide evidence to prove that humans and animals can connect just like us humans connect to each other. In the story, Hachiko, a little boy named Kentaro met a friendly dog named Hachiko and the owner named Dr. Ueno. He started visiting Hachiko on a daily, not because someone asked him to, but because he loved him. He went to the train station every day to visit Hachiko, but one day, his father told him that Dr. Ueno was dead. Kentaro, he felt so bad and wanted to take the dog into their house, but his father insisted that it was best for Hachiko to stay with the person who took care of Dr. Ueno's house. The next day, Kentaro went back to the train station to see if Hachiko was still there. When he got there, he saw Hachiko sitting there as he always was. This is another reason why I think that humans can connect to animals, just like how humans can connect to others. In the last passage, Monkey Masters, a very artistic monkey creates famous art that sells for lots of money. He becomes famous and is called the Monkey Master. This shows that some animals can do the same things that humans can do too. This all plays into the fact that humans can relate to animals and how animals can relate to humans. Animals are just like humans. They communicate with the same species just like how we communicate with others. But they have other ways to interact with humans, just like how we have different ways to communicate with the animals. In conclusion, I think that animals can relate to humans just like how we connect to others, and I can prove that using these three texts.
Very nicely done. You guys, each of you is really a good writer and a good reader, too. It doesn't seem like you're reading as you're sharing this, actually. I can tell how honestly these are written. So that was Roman Gray, who's from Stanton Heights. And Mariska Corrali is going to be our last essay sharer today. She's from Brookline. And is there anything you need to say before you share it?
No.
Excellent. Well, here comes Mariska.
Hello, my name is Mariska, and today I will be sharing my knowledge of how humans and animals benefit from interacting with one another. The three ways they benefit, out of many, in my opinion, are that humans benefit from animals, animals benefit from humans, and animals can improve mental health. To begin, humans benefit from animal interaction. Have you ever walked a dog and just appreciated being outside and breathing in the fresh air, warm sun on your shoulders? Well, if you can't relate to this, maybe you've had a cat snuggle up by you while you both fall asleep. This makes you happy, doesn't it? The walks with dogs and petting cats are surprisingly helping you more than you thought. When you go on walks with a dog, you can get more fit. Rebecca A. Johnson wrote a book called Walk a Hound, Lose a Pound, based on how dog walking is beneficial. Petting animals releases hormones called oxytocin, according to Pet Therapy, How Animals and Humans Heal Each Other. Because of these reasons, I believe humans benefit from animals. Adding on to the previous paragraph, animals benefit from humans. Now, when you think of it, you may not realize that domestic animals rely completely on humans for their basic needs. Dogs and cats rely on humans for food and water when they are domesticated. Goldfish can't find their own fish flakes or change their own water, so they also rely on humans. Cats purr when you pet them as a response to feeling happier or comfortable. Dogs scratch their sides as a response to hitting nerves in their backs that they enjoy. Scratching behind their ears releases endorphins, which make them feel good. Therefore, animals benefit from human interaction. Last but certainly not least, animals help improve our mental health. Now, you may be thinking that this should fall under humans benefiting from animals, but this can fall under its own category because they help us so much that I thought it needed its own category. Do you ever just sit outside and feel happy about it with the fresh air, sun on your face, wind blowing through your hair, and you just feel happy? You could get this feeling from walking a dog or just sitting outside with a dog. This can improve the way you feel. Once I got my dog, Gordon, I felt happier because he was an adorable dog, so being around him made me feel better if I were sad. So for these reasons, animals can improve mental health. Therefore, I believe that animals benefit from humans, humans benefit from animals, and that animals improve mental health. This information may have convinced you that these are true. Thank you for listening.
You all did an amazing job. Thank you. These are all students from Pittsburgh SciTech. I wish we had more time. We just have another minute or so. Did anybody want to say something that they didn't get a chance to, like you meant to say hello to somebody or acknowledge somebody that you missed? Just jump right in.
Well, I really want to thank Miss Moore that she helped me do this. She really encouraged me to do this and gave me time, would like review mine, give me comments.
That's excellent. Ms. Wendy Moore, their teacher. Anybody else? We'll all thank Ms. Moore.
Oh, yeah. Also, my dad, he helped me too.
I want to thank Ms. Moore, my mom, and this radio station because Ms. Moore and this radio station were able to give me this opportunity to be able to come on here and present my essay. And I want to thank my mom because she really helped me with my essay.
Thanks, Kennedy. And we hope you'll all come back. Anybody else? We just have...
I'd like to thank Ms. Moore for helping us write this essay. And I'd like to thank her for inviting people to listen to this right now.
Thanks, Luke.
And other people listening to this.
I'd like to thank Ms. Moore for giving me this opportunity and also my mom, dad, and sister for helping me review my essay.
I want to thank Ms. Moore and my mom and my big sister for helping me go over my essay also.
It was Sam and then Roman just now and Mariska.
I want to thank my stepmom and Ms. Moore and also my dad for helping me practice my essay too.
Well, thanks to all of you, and I hope you'll all come back. We'd love to have you back.